I've talked to you about what I'm going to say today several times before, but my heart is moved this month as we approach the start of school. We have children, and they're like the child of this woman. They're going to be approached by demons. It happens at the start of school, particularly in certain neighborhoods like this, where the kids are challenged to choose their gang colors by fifth grade. It's not unusual in our neighborhood. Now, we just finished hearing in the first reading from Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord, observe what is right, do what is just, for my salvation is about to come, my justice about to be revealed." We don't want our children to lose their salvation because of the temptations and challenges that they're going to encounter in school. And each year as school starts, I have the same experience, the same anxiety. It's a concern for their honor, for their virtue, for their faith, for their souls, for their salvation. They will be faced with serious temptations and challenges. And my hope for them is that they will do as their faith instructs them, to observe what is right and do what is just. Now, my concern is not just for the children. It's the same concern I have for their parents. It's just that right now the timing shows us what's happening. They've been with their families all summer long, and now they're going to be back out in the desert again. When I was a permanent deacon, men would ask me a certain question with some frequency. I've shared this with you before. When I was working with men's groups in my parish, men would ask me this very same question. They knew that I was still working in my business career, like most of them, in the world, in the marketplace. And I got similar questions from the men who worked with me. And this question is an important one. And the question is this. And you've all experienced it yourselves. How do you combine your faith with your work in the world? The question affects students in the school. It affects adults in the marketplace and their workplaces. How do you combine your faith with your work in the world? Now, there's an assumption behind that question. And the assumption behind that question is that you must suspend your faith to be successful in the world, because business and religion don't mix. We've all heard that. And there was a time when I actually believed that to be true. A long period of my career, I believed that to be true. But as I matured in faith, I came to see the lie in that assumption. It's not true. On the contrary, there will always be great demand in the world for men and women of honor, virtue, trust, and courage. Brave men and women who don't hide their faith. Faithful people who live their faith openly for all to see. And in fact, true progress of civilization requires that transparency, that honesty, that openness. that integrity. Faithful, practicing Catholics will always be in great demand in the marketplace. We make it work. And with time and spiritual maturity, I came to see the lie more clearly. Over time, I learned to answer that question. I didn't know how to answer the question for a long time. And gradually, and with some stumbling practice, I learned. And here's what I came to when they would ask me that question. Deacon, how do you mix your faith and your work in the world? So at first I would ask this question. I'd say, did you get paid last month? Did you cash the check? Then the contract's been completed. You're not owed another penny. You agreed to that job. You accepted it. Nobody forced you into that. And in return for your pay, the company has some rights too. The employer expects of you two things. One, to do the job they hired you to do. They shouldn't expect anything less. And second, to be a faithful steward of company property and reputation. And if you cast your paycheck, then it's up to you to fulfill your side of that bargain, to be faithful employee. And then I would say to them, stop stealing paper clips. And they would look at me, kind of like you're looking at me right now, like I'd lost it. And they'd say, you know, I could tell that they weren't getting it. I said, you know what I mean. When we cashed our paychecks, all the debts were paid. Everything was canceled. Everybody was doing what they promised to do. The company didn't owe us another penny. Not even a paperclip. Not even a Xerox copy. Pens or pencils or paper or envelopes or even personal long-distance phone call on the company account. We're supposed to be trustworthy stewards, people of our word, people of honor, stewards of the company's resources, all of them. I came to see that if I couldn't trust myself with small things like a paperclip, then how could the company trust me with large things? So my challenge for myself and everyone who asked that question was, if it doesn't belong to you, it's not yours. And that's become my personal standard. Oh, wow, is there freedom in that standard? One of God's Ten Commandments is, you shall not steal. And I decided a long time ago that it was useless for me to try to convince myself that taking little things like paper clips is not stealing. And I begin to realize there's a huge demand in the world for honest stewards, courageous, brave people, young people and adults, students and workers who are truly dependable and trustworthy. Now, it's not that God's going to send me to hell for stealing a paperclip. That's not the issue. If I'm going to be condemned for breaking one of God's commandments, it's because I chose to break it. There's the crux. It doesn't matter whether it was over paper clips. A wise Christian man or woman knows three things. First of all, only God knows how many days we have on this earth. We can't add a single day to it, no matter how many possessions we have, how much money we have. And second, a wise person knows to share fairly his bounty, his possessions, with others who have less. And third, eternal life is promised for those who keep God's commandments. We know those things. In practice, becoming a Christian is a lot like learning a sport, like golf or baseball or tennis or swimming or riding a bike. It takes practice, it takes perseverance, it takes vigilance to build strong Christian habits, like not stealing, like not missing Sunday Mass, not lying. These are habits that we have to create. Being a Christian is a lifelong struggle to grow in personal discipline and learn good habits and to stop bad habits. At first, it's often difficult to change a habit, isn't it? But with time and prayer and perseverance, with God's help, we get better at the good habits and we overcome the bad habits. Now, we call the good habits virtues, because that's what virtues are. Christian virtues like honesty, charity, chastity, faithfulness, respecting the property of others, loving God and loving our neighbors, ourselves. And I decided if I couldn't keep God's commandments regarding paper clips, then I was on a really slippery slope. Even a hypocrite for trying to call myself a Christian. Now, if stealing paper clips is not stealing, then help me out. At what point does it become stealing? Taking something that's not mine. 2 paper clips? A penny? 50 cents? A dollar? $100? $1,000? When does it become stealing? I decided to draw a bold line for my own personal discipline and criteria with one simple standard. It's not mine. Make a bold line with that. And you know something? I found freedom. There's freedom with that. I'm not always worrying about, is it 1 or 2 paper clips? I'm free. And I found so much peace in this personal standard. By holding myself accountable, I began to see other personal areas in which I could improve my moral being, like small lies, or cheating in small ways, or gossip. It's the same thing. It's respect for what is true, respect for others. And I began to get better at discerning my own flaws, like greed and dishonesty and gossip. And children are going to have the same problem when they go back to school, because cheating is all around them. Where do they draw the line? How about this line? It's not mine. It's not my work. And there's three sins in cheating in school. Let's look at the three of them. First one, you didn't do your work. Second one, you stole something that wasn't yours. In the business world, you can't steal knowledge from other people. Why is it okay in a school? And third, you told a lie. You gave it to the teacher and said it was your work. That's three sins cheating. Now, I learned that there was an area of growth I never saw coming when I established that line so clearly for me. As I learned the discipline of not stealing paper clips, guess what happened? Growth in generosity became easy for me because I wasn't scheming anymore. I knew where the line was between what was mine and what was not mine. You grow in generosity when you have that freedom. We need to talk to our young people as they return to school. We need to prepare them and ourselves to do as Isaiah the prophet wrote, observe what is right. Do what is just. Pray for the youth of our parish.